I want you to imagine that you have got masses of space and you're going to invite all the people you really want to a lovely meal. So think about the people you're going to invite. They might be famous, you might fancy King Charles, you might fancy the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition, the Archbishop of York. I don't know who you're going to invite. And I'm sure there's well-known footballers you like, or in some people's cases, rugby players, film stars. Think about who you'd like to invite. So you've got in your mind who you'd like to invite. And I'm sure you'd invite some of your friends as well. You should probably pick and choose or something, but I think they would fit in. I'm not sure about them, so we'll ignore them. But that group will fit in, but I'm not sure about this lot. So you've got enough seats. It's a long table. You as a host, you've got to decide where you're going to sit. And you've got a choice. Are you just going to let people sit anywhere? Or are you going to tell people where to sit? The choice is yours. We know that if we tell people where to sit, it solves a lot of problems, doesn't it? You know that great Aunt Flo won't upset young Charlie, and Granddad won't snore in somebody's ear. You know, you work it all out, don't you? But even then, there's people who sort of think, if only I was there, they seem much nicer, friendlier group. But, so that's one option. So you have sat round you the people you want. The other option is just to sort of say, right, come, sit anywhere you like. And people will. I would guess that most people go and have a bit of reservation, will go and sit by the famous, well-known person that they want to. But what happens if somebody sits next to the famous person that you really want to sit by? How do you handle that? Do you sort of think, oh, I'll go and sit somewhere else, it's okay? Or do you sort of think, I've sorted this, got this all together, and I'm going to ask that person to move? They're not going to like it. You won't be my best friend anymore. So we have choices when it comes to celebrating, to meals. It comes come choices when we come to church, where we sit, who we talk to. Whatever we do, we have choices. And that is a little bit about that parable, that story that Jesus was saying. And I love it because it starts off by saying, Jesus was going to a house, the leader of the Pharisees, to eat a meal on the Sabbath. So he was being invited by one of the leaders of the Pharisees. And we often think that Jesus and the Pharisees were like that. But obviously there's respect there. But it's the next sentence I love. It goes, they were watching him closely. And I'm sure there are times on a Sunday morning you watch close, some of you watch closely whoever's leading the service or listening to the choir, and suddenly think, oh, why are they doing that? They've got that wrong. Some of you never think that at all, I know, but I know there's some that do from comments I've heard in the past. But it's like all people watching. They were watching Jesus to see if they could trap him. And Jesus was watching them. Quite an interesting tension, isn't it? Two ways. And they were waiting for him to put his foot on it, in it on Sabbath. But he turned it round and said, you invite people. you invite people for all sorts of reasons, don't you? Often, if I invite some nice people around for a meal, the chances are they'll invite me back for a meal. So actually, as long as I choose people who are good cooks, it's not that bad. But sometimes I just want to invite people because of who they are, with nothing in return. So there's that social element. And sometimes if it's a work context, sometimes you're inviting people because you, or in a group or a club or something like that, because you want to get in with the right people. It's not something I've ever really tried, I must admit. That explains a lot. And there's those question marks, isn't there? And Jesus was saying, why do you, you know, if you're a host, you tend to tell people where to sit. If they choose themselves and they sit at the top table, they might well be asked to move. Whereas if you sit further down, you could be moved up. That's what he's saying. And we choose, don't we, where we sit and what we do. One of the occasions I enjoyed most in my life, I enjoyed quite a lot, was quite interesting. A work colleague and myself had tickets for the world premiere of the film Mamma Mia. And it was quite interesting because we both come straight from work, walking down the blue carpet with our bags. I don't know what people thought, because it was also shown on the big screen both inside and outside. Nobody said a word, thankfully, so we sat down and probably enjoyed ourselves. But we had a dilemma at the end. We weren't posh, poshly dressed. We had our work bags. Everybody else seemed to look really smart. And the invite was also for the after party. So the question mark was, did we go or didn't we go? I'll leave you to work out what we did do. What would you have done? But Jesus is saying very much about turning it on head, being open to invite other people, be inclusive, to include those who wouldn't normally come. Those who are by themselves. Those who perhaps ignore. Because we all gravitate to people we get on with, people we like, similar interests. And there are certain people who probably don't feel we don't tend to gravitate to, for all sorts of reasons. But Jesus is saying that as Christians, as his followers, we need to be open to include everyone. And that is a remarkable challenge. We don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. But that's what he's asking us to do. And basically he's saying, live out the two greatest commandments, which we heard earlier. To love God with the whole of your being, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And that we can only love other people, only support and encourage and involve other people, if we've discovered how to love ourselves and discover how God loves us, regardless of who we are, with all our quirks. And then we can reach outwards to others. And the Hebrew reading at the end said, continue and offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So by praising God, we grow to love him, to understand him. And that flows out through us, how we relate to others. I'll leave you to ponder on that. I just want to end with a poem by R.S. Thomas. And it's called The Kingdom. It's a long way off, but inside it, there are quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king, and the consumptive is healed. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back. And industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. It's a long way off, but to get there takes no time, and a mission is free. If you purge yourself of desire and present yourself with your need only and the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf.